It is time for the drive to the close. Aaron Cannon back with us, co-founder, CEO at the wealth management firm Clear Harbor Asset Management. Aaron, on the phone in New York City. Aaron, good to have you here with us. Where were you 10 years ago?
Oh, gosh. 2008, I was, probably doing something similar to what I'm doing now and wading through different risks for sure.
Well, this is what we've been thinking about all week. It's on the cover of the Bloomberg Businessweek magazine, looking at, this long bull market run that we've had since the crisis. And there's a lot of stories in the magazine that kind of dig into what we've learned. You know, are we in better shape? Should another crisis come? It is interesting, the market environment that kind of came out of the crisis. Is it a more transparent market? Like, what do you think about it? Because we have a lot more machines involved, a lot more algorithms involved. You don't see a lot of companies going public like we used to. A lot of passive management has really, taken over the market. So how do you see it right now?
Well, I'm not sure if it's a more transparent market. I certainly think if you look at the data, passive is growing, but still is the minority. 30-odd% of the U.S. public market is deemed to be passive. So that's a growing number there. I think the type of investor transaction that's occurring has shifted dramatically, not just over the last 10 years, but 20 and 30 years from retail to institutionals. You tend to see, big block trading occurring today relative to 20, 30 years ago. But the economy is certainly in a different place today, and the market is as well, and we welcome that.
This market cycle, this even economic cycle at this point, do you see a lot more room for it to continue?
Well, it's interesting. I think there's a warranted concern that because the economic cycle is perceived to be long in the tooth, and because the bull market is relatively long in the tooth, when you look at the post-World War II environment, it's perhaps the longest. But the facts don't add up to that signifying a peak in the bull market. In fact, bull markets do not usually die of old age. They usually,
you
as
didn't
they
say
die,
that. Did you really say that?
but it's true. It's interesting. They usually a policy error or some excess in the market. And when we look at the market today, Carol, we take a look at, well, what are those risks? Monetary policy is still easy. It's tightening, but it's below the perceived neutral rate of 2.5%. And I think Fed Chairman Powell doesn't want to get too aggressive on the tightening front, so that's a big plus. Consumer sentiment, business sentiment's really positive. Fundamental earnings numbers are strong, and actually the forward multiple, the fundamentals or the valuation in the market, which is what we keep our eyes on heavily too, is not excessive. It's sort of at that 25-year average rate at about 16.5 times. Maybe I think the 25-year rate is closer to 15.5, but the last few peaks we were closer to 25.5. And so you look at the retail investor base. Bulls are really not a large component of the retail market, and hedge funds are not excessively long the market. And so we remain relatively constructive at the time.
So, you know what's interesting, too, I thought, in this story that I was mentioning that's in the magazine, is it talked a lot about, because we have a lot of investors just kind of throwing a lot of money into some kind of index fund to track the overall market, that through also technology, social media, you've kind of had the rise of activist investors again, and that when there's a problem, they kind of get it out there and companies kind of have to deal with it right away, right? It's out there in the public. And that in some ways, maybe that makes things happen more quickly. A company has to take action more quickly when there's a concern or a problem out there. And that maybe that's a good thing potentially for the market and is something that provides that continued upward momentum.
Well, I think you're on to something. I think for us, what it means, too, is that activism sometimes differentiates who the historically good capital allocators are in the public marketplace and who may not be. So even in an area that hasn't performed particularly well this year, like staples, you look at companies, and there are a handful of companies where you have consistent growth of earnings, and you actually have relatively elevated price-to-earnings multiples. Well, what's interesting, you think, well, if they're elevated, maybe you don't want to own them. But I think they're elevated relative to the entire sector because the market is starting to realize that these are the companies where you want to allocate your capital because management is allocating their investments in a great way. And so I think the activism has provided some of that transparency.
So in this environment where we're heading into, you know, I'm kind of like blown away this week how dense it felt again. And I feel like, yep, summer's over. You know, you've got the midterm elections coming up. We've got another Fed meeting coming up very shortly. We'll start to get into earnings once again. How do you see all of that potentially impacting the investment environment? And of course, looming out there is still concerns over emerging markets.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that, you know, geopolitical risk, you have concerns about trade with China, you have concerns about skirmishes on the trade front with Europe. We still don't have really a deal with Canada. To some extent, we do with Mexico. But that's in the market. The market's a discounting mechanism. And so I almost view those risks as opportunities to the extent that we can settle a score or at least improve our trade relationships with China. To the extent that Brexit may be moving in the right direction and Europe can perhaps now negotiate with us on things like automobiles, these could all be net positives. Certainly there are headwinds, and I think the midterm election could stymie some of the pro-growth policies that have been moving through the marketplace, but a lot of those are now enacted in law and will play out over the next year or two already. So not too concerned about that in the near term.
All right, we're going to leave it on that note. Aaron, have a great weekend. Thanks so much. Aaron Kennan, he's co-founder, chief executive officer over at Clear Harbor Asset Management. More than $700 million in assets under management. Aaron joining us on the phone from New York City.